Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Trinity Talks. My name is Kyla.
I'm Jordana.
My name is Bill.
And I'm Johanna.
And we are here to continue our conversation about sin, but very specifically today, we are talking about greed. And sometimes we don't think about greed, like it's become so normalized, I think. It's one of those things that, we don't think about greed as something that's, a terrible thing, right? Because it's, we all need stuff. So we just keep accumulating stuff.
Yeah. I think of all the seven deadly sins, greed might be the one you don't see coming.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that makes it even more difficult to identify.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that you don't see it coming when you consider yourself middle class, right?
Right.
We think of like the billionaires of the world and go, why do they need even more and more? Why do
right.
they, act
yeah.
the way they do?
Yeah.
And so it's always somebody else who's greedy. So it's not, I feel like we have a culture in which we can recognize greed in everybody, in other people,
or
particular kinds of people. It's the ways in which we are implicated that's so hard to disentangle.
And as Rob said in the sermon, it's naturalized in us, in our culture. So we don't see it. We just think it's normal, and we think it's just part of what we're supposed to do, and and what's acceptable in our culture and in our community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that being said, if it's sort of normalized, I think it would be helpful for us to sort of have a definition of what is this thing that we're talking about? What is greed? What does it look like? How do we know it when we see it? Johanna, what do you think?
I feel like greed is probably when you already have enough of something, but you still have that like really deep want for more of it.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not just, it's like we have the stuff, but we want more stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Like it's never enough. Like you're just constantly chasing after it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hamster on a wheel.
What she said.
Yes.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
I
greed,
I agree.
Greed is never enough.
Yeah.
That's Gianna's just got the heart of it. It's that desire, right? It's not just the stuff itself. It's actually that constant unfulfilled desire that you try to fulfill through either the things or the money or the things that money can buy.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think of, again, when I'm kind of reflecting on greed, I went all the way back to kindergarten. It's like, what's the, all the things I need to know I learned in kindergarten,
right.
thing, right? I think greed was one of the things that was covered. It's, it's pretty basic that way. And I thought of, the kid in kindergarten who's like grabbing up all the toys and wanting to play all the toys with all the toys himself.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I was probably that kid in kindergarten. And I just kind of just remember, the teacher, saying, okay, Billy, you can't play with all the toys yourself. Don't be greedy.
Right.
Right. Just, share the toys so everyone can play together. Right.
Right.
Play nice. And, I think that's kind of, mm-hmm. greed for me, it seems like it's, covered early on. So, so in a way that it's addressed and we learn how to, and from a very early age, we've learned how to not be greedy and how to share. I think it's still insidious in our culture because of it being accepted and normalized.
We have different definitions for that kind of grasping and grabbing as adults, right? Like we want to be secure. We want to be, that Screwtape from C.S. Lewis quote about, we call it planning. We call it security.
Yeah.
Right. It's not just the wanting of stuff. It's the feelings we give that we invest in these things to give us. I think that's so much goes to the heart of greed. Like, what are we asking money to do for us?
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a sense of what you're trusting money to do for you and where you're placing your trust.
Yeah.
And I think when we talk about greed, you need to understand that it's a feeling first and then an action after. Right.
Mm,
so that desire, Jordan, you're talking about that, that's the feeling that creates, the motivation to act greedily, right? The word grabbing just came up as I, you know, I was thinking through greed, because you're just grabbing up everything.
Yeah.
But it comes from, you know, that desire first to have more, and that there's never enough. And then you just kind of spend your time so focused on just taking as much as you can for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right that it does, the feeling precedes the action, but I think sometimes we don't recognize the feeling, and we don't stop to name the feeling. It is, like you said, it's, we call it security. We call it, like, you know, planning. We think of it as, like, especially the thing that comes to mind for me is like this scarcity mindset that we often have, which is like, I need to have enough. There is not enough in the world for everyone. And so I need to make sure that, like, I have enough for me.
Yeah.
Because there cannot possibly, like, if I let go of this, then there cannot possibly be enough.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, the thing about the scarcity mindset is, as we can see from our environmental crisis, there are resources that are not enough for everyone's greed. You know, and so I'm not sure whether just shifting a mindset from scarcity to there's plenty and we can all have all we want is necessarily going to solve that issue.
Sure.
Right. And so, you know, to recognize, I think this is where, honestly, it's God that comes in.
Yeah.
Right. Like, at the heart of this, it's, you know, what are the feelings and what kind of meaning are we investing in this stuff, mm-hmm. right? If we want it so much. Mm-hmm. Those feelings can sometimes point to legitimate things. Like, we do want mm-hmm. to have food,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I, as a mom, I would like my kids to be able to go to college. And in that sense, that means putting aside some money for the future and not just saying, oh, this is all I need for today or this week.
Right.
And so that's where I find the tension between planning and greed. Like, I'm constantly walking those, you know, what is enough, not just for now, but for planning for the future. And what is too much, or what is, you know, how afraid I am that I want to put so much away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I find it really difficult to sometimes, you know, recognize what is necessary. Because even for the future, you don't need huge amounts.
Right.
Right. And at the same time, there's so much uncertainty that you want the certainty to be in those, you know, those funds that are there, for example.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I think we need to be careful as we're talking about all this and future planning, right? Like, we're not, I'm not saying, and I would think you're not
saying.
We're not
saying don't plan.
Right. Yes. We're not saying don't plan. We're not saying don't have savings, you know, that sort of thing. But it's that really fine line between, like, what is enough and what is greed.
So enough is a really kind of important word in my thinking when talking about greed, because I think we need to figure out for ourselves what is enough.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
In order to kind of get a grip or an understanding of greed in our own life, we need to understand for ourselves or for our family what is enough. And once we can identify what enough is, then we have a goal to reach for that we can plan for and we can work towards so that we have enough. And then we also can use that as a guide. So if we're going past that, then we can identify that as, okay, now I'm being greedy.
Right.
I've gone past what I need for my family and I'm getting more and more and more. And that's too much. Right. So I think we need to figure out what is enough. And I think the problem with greed, or when greed has a hold on people's lives, the attitude is, like you said, there's never enough.
Yeah.
Right. And then that's the mentality. And if your mentality is never enough, then you don't have that goal of what is enough. You don't have that guideline of what then is too much. And then, the other kind of coming out on the other side of it is the attitude of saying, I have enough.
Right.
Right. Just recognizing when you've got to that point, and just being content and grateful and thankful for what you have. I think that is the, you know, when you're kind of turning the corner on greed in terms of our own attitude and mindset, is the contentment of knowing You've done the planning, you've done the hard work, you've saved the money, and you're in that guide that you've set yourself, and you can say, you know, I have enough, I'm content, and you don't have to, hold on greed doesn't have to be in your life.
Sure. So you were talking about, you know, trying to figure out what is enough for you. So what does that look like practically? Is that like budgeting? Is that like setting a goal for yourself? Like what?
Well, now you're getting into money, and I would really pull in my wife at this point and say, because I'm pretty sure the answer is budget.
Okay.
But yeah, that's beyond my pay grade.
Okay.
But sure. I think, you know, having a plan and keeping to a budget, and Rob talked about some of the practical stuff around money and how having a proper place in your life, and a lot of that is just, you know, doing that kind of assessment. What am I spending now? And identifying what is what's necessary, what's needed, and what's not, and what's extra, and just being able to adjust your budget, your spending accordingly.
So, yeah.
And that you can find that, you know, kind of contentment groove.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm wondering, we have spent a lot of time talking about money and material possessions. How do we know in ourselves, like, what are some sort of signs that we have a healthy relationship with money, or that we are maybe sort of have an unhealthy relationship? Maybe that's greed. Maybe that's something else. But like for yourselves, how do you know?
Kyle. I was just going to say the challenge for me is to recognize that the money's not mine.
You know
what I mean? Like, it's not just about enough. It's the fact that so often you feel like it's yours because you earned it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right? It's this notion of mine. This is mine to do as I want and to fulfill my needs as I want, as opposed to this is a gift given, like, you know. And so it's so easy to forget that, right?
Yeah.
Because we do work, and we do work hard to earn a paycheck and to have enough for families, for our family, etc. And so that notion that it's all grace, it's all a gift, I think that's the challenge for me. You know, it begins lower than below and more deeply than me assessing what is enough for my money. It's actually where do I put my trust, and whose is this really?
Yeah.
And then I can say, okay, God's given me this for my needs, and He's given me more, right? And what as well? And so, I just find that space where the struggle lies is in remembering who's this thing
is. It goes back to that verse that Rob mentioned in the sermon. The earth is the Lord's and everything
in it.
Everything that we claim and hold as ours is really we're stewards of it rather than owners of it.
We don't own it. We loan it. or it's loaned to us. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think for me, when I think about my own relationship with money, so I grew up in a family, there was four kids. So there's six of us living on a pastor's salary, and my mom wasn't working. And there was never a moment where I really felt like, oh, we didn't have enough money. Like my parents did a really good job taking care of us. But there was a sort of general sense of like, we're not being extravagant with our money.
Yeah.
And that is something that still like eats at the back of my brain.
Yeah.
Like when in any moment I'm like, ooh, do I have enough money to like do this thing? And like, if I look at my bank account, like, yes, I am fine.
Yeah.
But those moments where I find myself being stingy in ways that I don't need to be, right? Is a reminder for me that like, yeah, this isn't, my relationship with money isn't something that like I need to like be as cognizant about. Like, yes, be responsible, but like don't let it be the controlling factor of like, you know, am I gonna go out for dinner, or do I have enough money to like tithe this month, or like whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, sorry, I'm talking a lot. Your story reminds me of this really amazing little story told by this writer called Wendy Wasserstein. And she talks about how the monks, you know, they've taken their vows of poverty and greed comes to tempt them. And she tempts them with all these extra things and they easily dismiss her.
Yeah.
Right. And so she goes away, puts on the garb of thrift and comes back.
Yep.
And they go for it.
Yep.
And so why? Because it's good to save, right? It's good to be thrifty. It's good to stay on a little. But but the underlying, heart condition that exposed was the trust in material things as opposed to God's generosity to meet your needs. And so it was this focus on the material.
Yeah. Yep.
To meet your security needs.
Yeah.
And that's how, you know, they weren't necessarily tempted by lots of stuff. They were actually tempted by being thrifty and stingy and holding on.
That feels very true to me.
And I think there can be that too, you know, that sense that, oh, I'm living in the simple way, but I'm not giving a lot. Like, I'm not releasing. And I think the antidote to greed is not either thrift or extravagance, sorry, but sort of that's space of letting go of your hold on the material as the place where you find that meaning.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's, I think, where it's hard to walk that line.
Yep. Yeah. So you were saying earlier that, you know, being in the middle class, we kind of give ourselves a buy, or at least we could potentially be doing that. But I want to kind of highlight that greed is just not just the domain of the rich, but also the middle class and also the poor, and that's that sense of scarcity mentality can be everyone can have that sense, right? So I was thinking back to a time when I was in the a dinner program for homeless in downtown Toronto, and a guy came in. He went straight to the front of the line. He grabbed up as much food as he could put on his plate, and more so. And then he started putting stuff in his pocket. He didn't care about anybody else or if there was enough. He's just grabbing up all that he can for himself. And he went and sat down and he ate. And then everyone else got food. And there was another homeless person at this sheltered dinner, and she got her plate and sat down, and shortly after that, someone came in late, and unfortunately there was no food left, so that person didn't have any, and so the woman who had taken her share, and what was enough. Like when you say, like earlier, we were talking about, you know, I have enough. She took what was enough for her. Mm-hmm. And when she saw that the guy didn't have, came in and there was no food left, she motioned him over and she shared with him what was enough for her. But it was also worked for the two of them.
Right.
Right. And so, whether you're rich, whether you're middle class, whether you're poor, whether you're in poverty and homeless, that sense of scarcity mentality can affect us, and we can be greedy. We can be poor and greedy, right? And just grab everything up just for ourselves. Don't care about anybody else. But we can also be like that woman who knew what enough was, took enough for her. But then when an opportunity to share and be generous came up, she took that opportunity and she shared with what she had so that together, both of them were able to eat.
Yeah.
And I think that's that is the Jordan, you talked about the antithesis of greed, you know, is generosity. Yeah. And I think just as we mentioned earlier that, you know, greed is a feeling first and an action after, I think generosity is the same way. Generosity is a feeling first. It's an attitude, it's a character within us. But it must have an action. And that action is sharing what we have, and that's, you get to the point where, or hopefully you get to the point where you say, I have more than enough,
right,
and then out of my abundance, you're more than seven articles of clothing.
Yes.
from the service, the example that was given, we can share with what we have, whether that's food or whether that's money or our time, and give to those who have less. Mm-hmm. So I think the, if, the practice of generosity is a character that is built through discipline, mm-hmm. and as we mature as followers of Christ, and it's lived out in our lives through being there, being present, and being making a difference in the lives of people mm-hmm. who have less in our community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. What do you think, Johanna? Like, what has greed sort of looked like, or when you think about that, what? Yeah, what comes
now
to mind?
Now you're supposed to do your laugh.
What? Oh my God, you got it out of me. Oh, I can't control that. But I mean, just thinking about like scarcity mindset made me think about, I was listening to this other podcast and they were saying in the podcast of like living by an abundance mindset is better than a scarcity mindset. And the whole logic behind that was, what was it? Oh, it was like when you're in a scarcity mindset, you perceive a lack of something, whether yeah. it's money or food or whatever resource. And so because your brain has that like, oh my gosh, there's a lack, like you're thinking that, then you're going to just think about it more and more that I'm lacking this thing. And like, it's just going to be like a fixated thought yeah. that you have, versus when you live in an abundance mindset, then it's like, there's enough of everything to go around. And so I don't need to covet more than what comes to me, and whatever comes to me, and whatever doesn't, doesn't.
Right.
And it's just more of like a laissez-faire kind of passive approach that, to combating greed, I guess, of just relaxing, yeah. just chilling with it. And, I had this other quote that I read somewhere. It was like, worrying about something is almost like worshiping something. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So just like with things like resources, it's really easy to worry about how am I gonna be able to afford this or yeah. whatever else, because those are legitimate like fears to have. But I don't know, it can be kind of comforting to know that, you know, money comes and goes and all of those things. Mm-hmm. It's also kind of easier, I guess, though, at where I'm at in life, because that's very much true. I don't have any dependents or whatever. So
right.
I can just kind of relax.
Yes.
But it probably would be harder for someone like you, I guess, with your four?
Two.
Oh, you were the one with four siblings
yeah.
and two kids. Right. Yeah. My bad.
Yeah. I think the thing about the abundance mindset, I think you're right that it puts us into a better frame of mind. But the quote, the like little catchphrase thing that comes to mind for me is like, there's enough for everyone's need, but not enough for everyone's greed.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's like there is enough. Like if we were to like actually steward all of our resources well and like care deeply and justly for one another,
mm-hmm.
we would be fine.
Yeah.
But if the standard for enough is like the Elon Musks of the world, then no, there is not enough.
Yeah.
Right. But it's, yeah. So it's all about sort of what that abundance means and like where we draw that line for ourselves, I mm-hmm. guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a great, you know, communal mindset to have. And globally, it would be amazing to have that communal mindset. And the World Health, in terms of food, the World Health Organization says there is enough food
yes.
for the population.
Yep.
The problem is, as soon as, you know, it breaks down very quickly, as soon as one person takes more.
Right.
And then another person sees that person take more, and then they take more. And yep. But except on a global scale, it's nations.
Right.
Right. And you know, one nation is grabbing up way more resources than other nations. And then they're like, oh, well, now we have to grab up. And it just kind of breaks down.
It's yeah. also the waste component.
Yes.
People wasting a lot of resources because they buy so many groceries, and then the groceries are sitting in their fridge and they go bad and they toss them out when that could have been eaten perchance.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. Or like the groceries that never even leave the grocery store.
Yeah.
And
that
like
too.
Go bad
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Right. Like, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there is.
Yep. So there is a lot of waste.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A big
food-wise, yep.
connection there between greed and waste, I think, because we think we need so much and then we have more than we actually know what to do with.
Well, it's almost even a pride issue at that point. This point, one of the other deadly sins.
Yeah.
Because you can actually say, we have so much, we can waste so much food and we still have enough, right?
Yeah.
Aren't we amazing that we've got this setup that we can do that, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, wow.
And today you've also got entire industries based on that, right? Planned obsolescence of computers like this, you know, that many years you have to buy a new computer. Fashion is, and trends and everything from interior decorating to what we wear it's just so based on that kind of waste, constant waste. And so, I don't know, it just feels like entire industries are structured to to sort of make us, on the one hand, feel greedy, and on the other hand, not price things as they should be. I think one of the things about greed is that because you focus on the material to such an extent, you can also sort of not adequately value the things you have. Like, it's worth valuing things for what they are. They're good gifts from God, right?
Yeah.
Like, so value it the way it should be, and not too much, but also not too little, not just throw away at all times. And those are some of the sort of tensions, I think, of living through this particular sin.
Sure. So we've talked a little about greed in terms of money and material things. Does greed show up in other ways in our lives? Like, can we be greedy for, like, I guess we talk about greedy for, or lust for, maybe power, for example? Like, is that a kind of greed?
Well, my kindergarten example was with toys.
Yes.
So you can be greedy with your toys.
With your toys, yes.
And that's where it all starts.
I think a greed for status, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. Greed to keep up with trends, like, all, you know, those are status markers, right? It's not just money and material possessions. It's what can money buy? I think we want those vacations every year, for example.
Yeah.
Or, you know, not just a vacation that goes close by, a vacation that goes across the world to Bali, to, you know, Tuscany, I don't know. I'm telling you where I fantasize about, of course.
Sure.
But, you know, I mean, that's, I think, when we talk about greed, we're talking so much about what do we want it to buy us, right? The values that we have, the experiences we want to value, and then...
Yeah.
That we keep wanting more money to fuel.
Yeah. I think you can be greedy for influence.
Yeah.
Could you be greedy for, like, time?
Yes. It's my time.
So expand on that. Like, what would that look like?
Well, just what I thought of was, I have this one friend, and I wanted to play Roblox with them, but they didn't want to play Roblox with me because they were busy with someone else. And so I had no one to play Roblox with me, even though we played Roblox like a couple times this week.
Right.
And it's like, I'm low-key being a little greedy for time on Roblox with my friend.
Right. Maybe. Well, and like greedy for their attention.
It's fun playing with them.
And like, I don't, so I would be careful in calling that greed, because I think there could be a sense in which, you know, if that becomes like a dominant personality trait for you, that maybe that's greedy. But like, I don't know, I feel like it's fine to be like, oh, I wish I really could have played with my friend. It's like what we then do with that feeling.
It actually crushed me, broke me, like, really.
Really?
no, okay.
if you were demanding more time from your friends, and that was taking time away from them to be with their family or with other friends, right, then that's greed, in the same way that you know, you're taking more money and other people as a result have less,
right,
or you take more food because you're hungry and you're greedy around food, and then other people have less food, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're greedy with time, I like that. It's just saying, you know, I'm taking, it's not just greedy of your own time, but it's like, I'm taking other people's time and keeping it for myself. And then those people have less time with other people, their loved ones. And
I didn't
like
know
that.
Roblox could be so destructive.
I know, it's insidious.
Yeah, it's like some great evil.
So you said something about like being greedy for like influence or status. So like, what does that look like?
Wanting everyone to know that you are all powerful, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like,
wanting admiration, right?
Yeah.
We want people to look up to you, to recognize you. I mean,
Yeah, I think it's, greedy for recognition.
Greedy for recognition.
That's it. It's like that's where the influence gets you, right?
Yeah.
That
right.
kind of
yeah.
recognition.
It's hard because everyone kind of wants to be recognized, I think, like, whether it's like at work or like with your friends or like if you want to be down in the history books, I don't know. Like, everyone kind of wants to leave a mark, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to not be greedy for it.
I think, so recognition on its own, I think it depends on what you want to be recognized for and who you want to be recognized by. Right. Okay. I mean, to the extent that if you want to bring this back to Jesus, like Jesus died for, if you want to, you know, each one of us. Like right. The ultimate recognition is a sacrifice for us.
Right.
To what extent do we lean into that love and know that it is unshakable?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. There is first that he mm-hmm. sees you and he loves you. Right. Mm-hmm. To lean into that can let you sort of let go of some of the more unhealthy ways in which you can mm-hmm. crave recognition or admiration from other people, mm-hmm. right? And then you can lean into the fact that your family loves you and you are important. And,
right.
You know, and so there are so many ways in which we can say recognition because we have a dignity that we are given mm-hmm. both by God, by our family members, and we can lean into that and let go of some of the more ephemeral ways in which we might seek recognition,
sure.
for example. Mm-hmm. And so that's sort of where I'd say recognition matters for our dignity.
Right.
But where we seek that recognition from and how we lean into it mm-hmm. can either mm-hmm. be destructive or can be really healthy, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, I think there's nothing wrong with seeking some kind of recognition,
yes.
right? Like, yeah, like you said, like it's the love,
yes.
right? That comes from Christ or that comes from family or friends. Like that is a kind of recognition, and it's okay to want that.
Yeah.
I think,
yeah,
it's greed, all of the sins, but greed is so hard because it is that fine line that happens in your head,
mm-hmm. yeah.
right? Between like this is okay to want, and like I'm. You go from this is okay to like I'm gonna strive and do everything that I can to like get this mm-hmm. thing, right? I feel like that's where it becomes
yeah
a kind of greed.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. So we've spent a lot of time now talking about some of the problems of greed, some of the ways that it shows up in our lives. What are some antidotes to greed? How can we move forward in healthy, sort of hopeful ways?
So abundance mindset.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Just have it.
have it's an not, abundance mindset.
Yeah. It's not that easy, I guess. And it definitely would take like adjusting to and just thinking of like, I don't know, just really decenter things from life. And it's like, there's so much more than wanting. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's not easy though. So I still want things, but
sure.
I don't know. I feel like it's helped with
yeah.
greed.
Yeah, for sure. Just to be able to, like, yeah, shift your thoughts and say, like, no, there is enough.
Yeah.
Let's be chill.
I'm fine. I have
yeah.
11 pairs of these at home. It's fine. I right. don't need to buy another.
yeah. yeah.
So
yeah.
that's your enough? 11, yeah. 11, 11 pairs?
11 is a pretty good
yeah,
number.
I mean, that's what we
yeah,
said.
You have
figure out what
one
your
pair
enough
every day, and that's some.
yeah. Other practices, other sort of ways?
I was going to say ask where your material things come from and what are they for.
Okay.
Right. And so that you are remembering that they're coming from God.
Right. Yep.
And what are they for?
Yeah.
Right. And that to that extent I'm hoping for me, and this is very personal here,
yep.
that I'm sort of able to open my hands from this clutching it tightly mm-hmm, thing mm-hmm. that I've got going. And say, okay, this is not, you know, as much, I might have worked for it, yes, but that itself, that work is a gift. Like, you know, mm-hmm, the ability mm-hmm. to do that is a gift. Like, it's come as a gift. So what is it for? Yes, mm-hmm. it's for me to eat and to take care of my family and so much more.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In terms of sharing,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Right. So. Yeah, and I think, so you said, you know, talking about where things have come from and ultimately from God, yes.
yes.
But the first thing that came to mind for me is like, where did this thing, this
yes.
shirt,
yes.
this car, this
yeah.
phone, where did it actually come from?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, what were the component parts into making this
yes.
and getting it
yeah.
from wherever it was to me, right? And I think thinking about that process is also really helpful.
Yes.
Right? Because it reminds me, okay, there is a physical impact in the world.
Yes.
Yeah, there's humans behind this product.
There's humans
I'm
behind
buying.
This product. There's like nature and like natural resources
yep.
that went into giving me this product.
Yep.
And that
And often the greed machine has that. There's negative parts to that process.
Yeah. Right? Yes. And it's to be out of sight. And so we never want to think about it, right?
Yeah. But if we can stop to think about it, that again, it's not the, you know, the silver bullet solution, but it is something that I think helps me remember, okay, why do I need two of this if the impact is so large?
Yeah, I think that's good. It's part of having a global understanding on the impact of greed. You know, in corporations and government and that trickling down to our purchasing patterns.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
That's helped for me.
And maybe affecting that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that's helped for me too, of like thinking about the background specifically for fashion, because it's really easy to see a bunch of videos of someone wearing something that looks really cool and like it's everyone's wearing them. So it's a bunch of videos, like a lot.
Yeah.
And you want it too, but you can't have it because it's like, I already have something similar, or I'm not going to wear it enough times to really justify making the purchase, even from a financial standpoint. And then there's like that human aspect of like, is this even worth it? Like the underpaid children, like I don't want to be, I don't really want to have pieces like that in my wardrobe just to sit there. So yeah, it makes me feel bad. And then I just don't buy the clothes.
Yeah.
That's a good perspective. And I think, so spiritually and in terms of our faith journey, I think like so many of the seven deadly sins we've talked about already, and maybe a few more that we're going to talk about, I think the ultimate answer for us is Jesus.
Yes.
And it's and that if we put our focus on Jesus, and that is where our energy is, that is where our heart is, then you know, greed does not have the same kind of an effect on us and in our lives. And it's not, I don't say that to make it sound like it's easy or supposed to be easy, because it's not. It is a discipline. It is something that hopefully you get better at over time, if you're being intentional about it. But as a follower of Christ, you know, we have that resource available to us where we can seek, Jesus as that primary in our life. And so we're not, so money can have its place and the other kind of resources that we need can have that place. And I think that it also is the source of the contentment, which I think is so crucial to kind of cutting the legs of greed. Because if we could learn to be content with what we have, then greed loses its hold on us.
Yeah, for sure.
Something else I thought of was just remembering how many things that are commonplace and like normal in our lives are actually kind of luxuries, I guess.
Yes.
Okay. So like with the fashion example, I'm just going to build off of that, I guess. It's like, you know, looking cute, that's not something that people could do a couple of years ago. Like you would have to be an aristocrat to wear the color purple or whatever. Like, so just to, I guess, prioritize your wants over, you know, people's well-being and stuff. So like you want to look cute, so you buy the thing, and like you're just not going to think about the exploitation that's happening because you want the thing so badly that it's not even going to be a staple of your wardrobe in a few weeks. But yeah, just remembering that a lot of the things that we want and like are within reach for us, that's why we want them, I guess. Then like they're not commonplace really.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Putting yourself in like the grand scheme of the current globe, but also like the history of humanity, right? Yeah. It's like, yes, I could get this thing, but people survived lots of years without it. Now,
a lot.
Is that true of everything, that, you know, we shouldn't want those things just because people got by without it, right?
Yeah.
No, not necessarily. But I think that it's, again, a helpful question to stop and ask yourself that interrupts our consumerist sort of mindset, for sure.
Kind of makes me hope that Natalie, my wife, doesn't see this podcast, because if she does, then she's going to challenge me on the number of t-shirts I have. I have a lot of t-shirts.
You can just say you won't buy any more for 3 years.
2 years.
I think I've already made that promise.
Good. Yeah, well, thank you so much, folks. This has been really helpful to just sort of talk through what does greed look like in our world and what are some of the ways that we can hopefully move forward from it. Yeah. And thank you for tuning in and listening along with us. Feel free to share a comment or share this with some other folks. We'd love to hear from you about, yeah, some of your struggles with greed and some of the helpful things that you have found to move forward from it. And we'll see you again next week.